Good morning. So this morning we are reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And it's just this verse. Right, so we've covered a whole lot of subjects already. We've covered everything about your spirit, which is the innermost you, the real you. And we've covered your emotions, which we understand to be the detection of all the spiritual realm around you, right? And then we've now started on the journey of speaking about your earth suit, which is the physical body, your brain. And your mind is the part where you, the spirit, effectively sit at a table, and the mind is your table. You, the spirit, sit at the table, and various other things come to bring things to your mind, and they come and put stuff on your table. Some of it is welcome, some of it is unwelcome, right? These things come into your mind via your eyes, via your ears, via your touch, via where other people touch you. You know, it's really interesting. You store your memories in your physical body. So if somebody comes and puts their hand on your shoulder in a certain way, the last time that you had a high emotional experience and somebody was doing that same thing is the thought that will jump into your mind. It'll be pulled back based on that particular touch. So it's really important to make sure that you only touch people in places where that's generally acceptable, right? Not on the inside of the arms, not on the wrists, not on the hands without permission, not on inside of the rib cage or the back, small of the back, you know, legs, thighs, just about nowhere. In fact, shoulders are about the only place that it's relatively safe to actually put your hand on somebody. But even then, be aware that, you know, if somebody had somebody do something horrible to them and grab them by the shoulders, the way, the pressure, all of those different things come into play to bring a particular memory into the mind. And so it's important to respect other people's physical space in terms of your mind, right? Now, there are also other ways that things can get into your mind, and that's spiritually. Spirits can come and sit at your table. And if you permit them, they'll even pull up a chair and stay there. Because whatever you dish up in your mind can generate emotions, and they can then feed off you. Right? So they're happy to pull up a chair. If you let them stay, they will stay, and they will, from time to time, trigger thoughts in you, generate emotions, and you become like their little slot machine for whatever pizza, etc. they want to eat out of you, right? So spirits can do that. But the Lord can also provide thoughts in your mind to assist you, guide you. In fact, the Holy Spirit does that work. And so when we look at verse 7, we're going to unpack verse 7 forwards. Okay. But we're going to unpack it. So, for God, right? So, for means there's a reason, right? And so, when we know that there's a reason, we need to go back to the start to understand where this all comes from. So, we go back to the beginning, and we see here in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands, for God hath, and that's where we, so putting on his hands, right? So what Paul is saying here is Timothy, when he was brought in as a leader, Timothy was chosen because he had a really good heritage in terms of his mother and his grandmother, right? They both had this gift. Whatever exactly this gift was, we're not entirely sure, right? But there is this gift. And Paul believes that that same gift is within Timothy. And he's reminding Timothy and encouraging Timothy of how he has been raised. He's been raised by his grandmother. He's been raised by his mother. And we don't know about the father's side of things, but certainly by the mother's. And then he's reminding him that actually Paul is the one that put his hands on him. In other words, he laid hands on him. And Paul is not saying that he is the one that gives the gift. Paul is saying that he laid hands on him. Now, he didn't lay hands on his mother and his grandmother. The same gift is within them. But by laying hands, he called to remembrance in Timothy the fact that actually God had given him a gift. Paul wasn't giving him a gift, right? Right? But Paul was bringing to mind that he had a gift. Now, that gift that God had given Timothy's family and himself is a gift that speaks to this one, right? To this particular verse. So that's the word for God. God everywhere, all the time, control of everything. Nothing is without control. Everything is in place. God has his desire to grow us, raise us, not just us, but every single thing in creation. He is busy growing and raising and encouraging, right? So we know that God is actually raising everyone and everything in his creation, right? But we are very special creatures to him. We've been created in his image. And so when it says, for God, God is the designer, the creator. He's the controller of everything, right? But he controls by giving rules, and he expects everything to obey the rules that they're supposed to obey. And where they don't, there's disobedience. God deals with that, right? As he did with Satan. And we know that didn't end very well for Satan either. So that's where that is. So for God, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Right? We do not have the spirit of fear. And that's really important to understand. God did not give it to us. He has the spirit of fear, and the spirit of fear is doing what it needs to do in other places, doing other things. But that spirit of fear is a spirit that generates fear in, for example, if people are going to sin, then they should be very afraid of sinning. That spirit of fear has a job. But then if you have a look at the way Satan has changed things, those spirits of fear which have fallen and are no longer generating fear and respect of God, but are now trying to eat and consume fear from people through movies, through making people afraid of each other and all the rest of it. Those spirits of fear are darkness, right? What is Paul saying here? God has not given us a spirit of fear. In our design, we do not have a spirit of fear. So when we look at the mind and we're sitting at the table of our mind, God never made a place for the spirit of fear to sit at our table. God didn't do that. We've chosen to do that by being afraid of things, by listening to what other people say, by listening to what other people say over and above what God says. Now, if you have not read God's word and you have not seen his promises and you have not seen how he's designed everything, absolutely you're going to be afraid because you've got nothing to counter this with. You've got no truth to bring to your table. You've got no way to actually speak and say, no, the spirit of fear is not here. It's not allowed to be here. Right? So, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But then we have a semicolon. And here we see the opposite, right? And the opposite of fear is but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God has given us power. Through the blood of Jesus, we absolutely have power. We have the power to drive the spirit of fear away. But that's the power to drive it away. But there's more to it than that, right? Because it says, and of love. Love is light. Darkness can't be around light. So if you have love, fear can't be there. It cannot be where there is love. And so often we confuse love with other things, but the reality is if you're afraid, you're not having love. Because love is hope and it's faith and it's joy and it's peace. All these things are part of love. So you need to allow love to shine through you and be in you. You have the blood of Jesus, so there's nothing stopping you from loving. Right? Now, I'm talking about loving God's way, right? Power, love, and of a sound mind. Now, when it talks about having a sound mind, it means that you have brought God's word to your mind. Now, many people bring at the table of their mind, they've got their Bible, and their Bible is closed, sitting there. Yes, I've got a Bible, but it's closed. It means nothing. You're doing nothing with it. And you have these other things that come and sit at your mind and bring thoughts and all the rest of it. And you're supposed to be moving these things on or off your mind just by moving them on and off. But some things don't want to move off. They come there and they cause trouble. They want to stick around. And the only way to move them off is you need something stronger. But that's not going to be you. Now, if your Bible is open, well, that's good, because then you can at least go there and have a look to see what you're looking for. But if you're really, really smart about this, you will go through the Bible and you will find the scriptures and the promises that God speaks of. Now, remember, whenever there's a promise, there's also a condition, right? So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So we know that anytime we want to use the Jesus loves me statement, we know that he loves us, but do we love him? And it's got to be a two-way relationship. And the only way that you know that you're loving him is if you're obeying his commands. And the only way you can do that is if you know what his commands are. Right? And so that means that you need to read them. So if you're reading through the Bible, you should be making notes. You should be making little cards almost. And these cards, you can almost have it like a pack of cards. And these cards should be sitting on your table. And they should be sitting face up on your table. And whenever some kind of a spirit comes along to try and cause some trouble, try and pull up a chair at your mind and start throwing things into the mixture that you are thinking, whenever it tries to do that, you should be pulling out one of your cards, because you have the blood of Jesus, so you have the right to use this. And you can say in the name of Jesus, you spirit of fear, you leave here, because God's word says perfect love drives out fear. And I have perfect love. I have Jesus within me. So in the name of Jesus, I command that you leave. And you know what? It has to obey that. Now, a lot of people, they use the name of Jesus by just saying the name of Jesus as though those words The vibrations in the air are going to make a difference. That's not what you have to do. You need to, when you read the Bible, you need to envision it. You need to picture what's going on so that you can bring the pictures to mind. You know, when you say in the name of Jesus, the best way to do it is say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross, sacrificed so that I can be set free. And I am his, and in his name I command you to leave. Now, when you say all of that, then in your mind you built the right picture, and you're using the picture to drive away the spirit. You see, if I'm sitting there and I'm afraid and I've got this fearful picture in my mind, it doesn't help me to say in the name of Jesus, because the picture in my mind is opposite to the words. Right? Now, if you say the words enough times, which is what they teach the Catholic priests to do, you say in the name of Jesus enough times, you will eventually convert your words that you're speaking into a picture in your mind. But you really should start with the picture in your mind, because they only listen to pictures. They don't listen to words. So you need to create a picture. So when you're reading the Bible and you see something, and in it is a beautiful picture that you can use, you need to write that down. As a little card, write it down. Now, if you write it down physically, you'll remember it a lot easier. You can have a pack of physical cards if you want. But at the same time, you should also be having at the table of your mind, all of these cards should be open and ready for you to just pick up and put down in front of that spirit and say, leave. Right? Now, you shouldn't in your mind think that you can just have a card in your mind that you can go and put there. No, you do need to speak. You need to speak, but as you speak, you need to be speaking the picture. What did God promise? And before you can use a promise, you know you need to be meeting the condition of that promise, right? So you can have in your mind a card whereby there's a condition on one side and there's a promise on the other side. And if you want to make a pack of cards like that, that would be really interesting. So that's a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that is properly prepared with scripture and is able to rebuff the spirits and is able to rebuff people who are controlled by spirits, and is able to actually just keep your mind straight. Just keep your mind straight. Because Satan will at any moment try his best to throw things into the mixture. You're busy baking cakes. Every time you're thinking about stuff, you're busy baking cakes. And all he wants to do is take his ingredients and throw them into the middle of your cake. And you know what? He doesn't want to mess up the whole cake in terms of he doesn't want to destroy your whole cake. No, he just wants to sow a little bit of something in there, like yeast. You know, it's going to cause this thing to rise and it's going to permeate through your whole cake and it's going to mess it all up. All right? It will mess up everything, but it's a little thing that he wants to introduce. You need to be watching your thoughts. You need to be watching your words, especially words that you speak, because that comes from your heart. If you're speaking words and you go, oh, hang on a minute, that came out of my mouth. It had to come from somewhere in my heart. That's not good. God, please, will you just go into my heart and that must come out. And he's going to expect you to do the work, right? What do I mean by you do the work? You're going to need to resist. You will need to resist every time you see it popping up in your mind again. You need to resist it, okay? And resist it in the name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is a picture, right? Resist it in the name of Jesus, knowing that that same Jesus that was crucified, that blood paid for you. And if you go to Revelation, this is who they are absolutely afraid of, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, so this is like from shoulder to waist, perhaps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. That's the real picture of Jesus, right? Not the one that you see in the shops and all the rest of it, no. That's the real picture of Jesus. That's the real Jesus. That's the one they're terrified of. You bring that picture up, because that's Jesus after he's been crucified and returned to heaven. That's the real Jesus. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, you are praying with all that power and authority that he has. But your mind has to be sound. You have got to be bringing the scripture in. You've got to be checking to see the conditions, to see whether or not you can count on this. There are so many songs. They have got all these promises in, and actually they're inaccurate, number one. God is on my side is not the truth. God is not on your side. God is on his side. If you want to be on God's side, well, there's a process. There are things you need to do. You need to give your heart to him. You need to step into, you need to read his word. You need to forgive everyone. And then you need to be doing things that are good. Then you're on his side. So God is not on your side. There are conditions to this, right? And so it's important that your mind be renewed. And to do that, you need to read the word, right? Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, guys, God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.